Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Good to see you here today, folks. We're going to read from God's precious word. You'll find it in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, and we're reading from verse 39. Luke 23, verse 39. One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." We know that the Lord will add his blessing upon this short reading from his own precious and inspired and infallible word. During the course of my gospel ministry, I've been privileged to have a prison chaplaincy. And many times I have seen people come into prison and go out of prison. I've often wondered how they have fared once they were outside prison. Thankfully, there are those who have fared well, not only in the temporal sense, but more importantly, in the spiritual sense. There have been those who have been converted to the Lord Jesus Christ, and even some at this very time are rejoicing in the presence of the Lord. Sadly, on the other hand, there are those who have gone out without Christ. And as far as we can ascertain, they've died without Christ. I want to talk to you today about two men that came out of jail. Two men that were brought out of prison and had fared well with one, but didn't fare well with the other. And in particular, I want us to think about the one with whom it fared well. He's commonly known as the repentant thief. Some great gospel lessons can be learned from this short portion of Scripture. Before we do that, let's have a brief word of prayer. Lord, we would ask Thee to help us, even now, to see these great gospel truths that are before us in the experience of this man that we're going now to consider. We ask it in Jesus' name. So we're looking at the experience of the repentant thief first and foremost. And there's some simple matters in relation to his experience that I want you to think about today. In the first place, you will notice that this repentant thief was characterized by fear. If you look at our Bible reading, it says one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, that's on the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, "If thou be Christ, if you're the Messiah, if you're the one that you claim to be, save thyself and us." But the other that was crucified at the same time as the Lord Jesus Christ said to his fellow malefactor, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" And the inference in these words, that this man who had spent his life living in sin, this man who had given himself over to criminal pursuits and finished up in jail because of it, the fear of God began to take hold upon him. You might know that when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, these two individuals were crucified at the same time, one on the right hand of the Lord and the other on the left hand of the Lord Jesus. And this man, this repentant criminal, began to realize his life was ebbing away. He was soon going to pass from this world to the next, and the fear of God took hold upon him. Initially, when they were crucified, both men poured scorn upon the Lord Jesus, but something happened in this man's heart that caused him to tremble, that caused him to fear. I was listening to the testimony of Mr. Joe Peden the other night, and Joe Peden was saying that he got up one night out of bed and his dear wife thought he was going to go out to a drinking club, but he said to her, "I can't sleep. I'm afraid to close my eyes." The fear of God, the fear of dying in his sleep took hold upon him. And that's what happened to this man here. He was characterized by fear. Then you'll notice also in the second place that he was acknowledging his folly. Dost not thou fear God? He says, saying, thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. Here's a man who had lived his life in sin. Here's a man who had regard neither for God nor man. We don't know really about his criminal activities, but whatever they were, they brought him to prison and ultimately to a criminal's death, as we would see it looking from the outside. But he begins to see that he's going to stand before God. He begins to realize, even at that late hour, the 11th hour as it were, he begins to realize that he's accountable to God, he's responsible to God, and he acknowledges his guilt. We're here because of the deeds that we have done. So the fear of God takes hold upon him, and the acknowledgement and also the confession of sin is seen. But you'll notice also in the third place that he exercises faith. He is characterized by fear of God taking hold upon him. He acknowledges his folly. We're here because of what we have done. We receive the due reward of our deeds. But then he exercises faith, because he sees something different. He sees something special about the one on the middle cross. And referring to him, he says, but this man hath done nothing amiss. He sees that the one on the center cross is guiltless. And he sees him not only as a man, but he calls him Lord. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. So here is a man who, even at that very, very late stage of his life, sees something different, sees something special, sees something wonderful about the man on the middle cross. He's man, but he's also at the same time God. He's the God-man. He has a revelation not only of his own guilt, he has a real revelation that he's going to give account to the Lord, but he sees the remedy. He sees the remedy. He learns, he knows, he begins to realize something about the Lord Jesus Christ. What can he do at that late stage of his life? Does he begin to make reparation? Can he reform his life and change his manners? No, because he's nailed to a cross. And in a very short time, and I'll explain this to you in a moment or two, in a very short time, he's going to die. So he had no opportunity to make amends. Could he go to church? Could he be baptized? Could he enter into some activity that would balance out the bad that he had done? Not a bit of it, for he was nailed to a cross. What then could this man do? What then did this man do? He turned to the Lord and he called upon the Lord And that's what the Bible tells us in other places. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here is a man, no doubt, with a burden of guilt upon him. Here is a man who's going to leave this life very shortly. Here is a man who is about to die very, very soon. And he sees Christ as his Redeemer. He sees Christ as the one who came to bear judgment for him. And he calls out upon him, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Not only is he characterized by fear, and not only does he recognize his folly, and not only does he exercise faith, but we can tell you with gladness tonight, he was assured of his future. When he called upon the Lord, what was the response of the Lord? And think about it, folks. The Lord himself was suffering intensely. The Lord Jesus Christ himself was on the verge of having the wrath of God for sinners poured out upon him. How did the Lord respond to the cry of this man who wasted practically the whole of his life fighting against God, pursuing sin? Did the Lord say, you've wasted your life? You've lived the way you have lived, doing what you wanted, doing as you pleased. And now you want me to accept you. Now you want me to receive you. That wasn't the response. What a response there was. Was the Lord too preoccupied with his own suffering to hear the cry of this man? Not a bit of it. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, the Lord responded. He was truly penitent. It was no outward show. This man was in deadly earnest about his soul. And the Lord responded. Jesus said unto him, verily, truly, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. What a great word that was from the Lord. How the burden must have rolled away from this man's heart when the Lord, even in the midst of his own suffering, looked on him with tenderness, heard his cry, answered his prayer, and gave him this wonderful promise. This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Think about that, folks. As the man was going through the suffering that he had to go through, he had this word from the Lord to hang on to. As the man was about to go through the valley of the shadow of death, as he was about to leave this world, he had this wonderful promise of the Lord to hold on to. At the 11th hour, as it were, he turned from sin and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Normally, Roman soldiers took people off the trees to which they crucified them, and they broke their legs, and they took them to a place, a valley, to the south of Jerusalem. It was a rubbish tip in Jerusalem, and they were thrown there. And maybe they survived about a day or 2 days. But think of being tipped there. The Lord Jesus Christ referred to that when he spoke of hell, the place where the fire is not quenched, where the worm dieth not. You can just picture that. That's the very place the Lord had in mind when he himself spoke about hell. And that's where this man would have gone. They didn't throw the Lord Jesus Christ there because people came and begged for his body. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. But they could have thrown, I don't know if they did throw this man, but he died that day because the Lord said to him, "Verily I say unto thee, today, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Isn't that a tremendous word for a dying man? Isn't that a tremendous word for every one of us? Because none of us know the day of our death, the day of our departing. And just as the Lord was gracious and merciful and pardoned this man at that late time in his life, so he will do for you. We have a lovely hymn that we sing betimes, and it says, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." And listen to this verse. You might know it, you may not, but it says, "The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away." We're not just talking about prisoners today, folks, in the sense of which we think of prisoners. You're not saved, you're a prisoner. You're chained by your sin. You may not think it, you may not even believe that, but that's the clear, plain teaching of the Word of God. And the Lord can set you free, just as he did this man. The Lord can take away the burden of your guilt and your sin, just as he did for this man. It's not church attendance. It's not reforming your life, as we've seen. It's simple trust and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Another hymn we sing says, "Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now." The only hope for this man at that stage, at that juncture in his life which was fast ebbing away, the only hope for him was the Lord Jesus Christ alone. This man knew in some degree that on that cross to which the Lord Jesus Christ was nailed, Christ took our guilt and our sin, the judgment that was your due and the judgment that was mine, he bore in our place. I say to folks in the prison, I says, you know, if somebody said to you at the beginning of your sentence, look, I'll take the rap for you. Don't worry about it. I'll tell them it was me. I'll take the rap. I would say a lot of those prisoners would say, fair enough, go on ahead. And I say to them, men, I'm talking reverently when I say this. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he died upon the cross, took the rap for us. the wrath of a sin-hating God, with me can have nothing to do. The Savior's obedience and blood hides all my transgressions from view. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? This man's Savior can become your Savior today. Another hymn says, only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. The Lord will do for you what He's done for others. There's an old hymn that became that famous that they even used to sing it in public houses. Maybe you'll remember it. But it says, it is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He can do for you. What God did for this man, if you will let Him, and if you will trust Him, He will do the same for you. It's great to have the sure and certain hope of heaven through Christ and Christ alone. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear God and Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the simplicity of Thy word. We thank Thee for the glory of the gospel. And Lord, we pray that You'll write that word upon our hearts here in this service today, as well as the hearts of those who will hear as the meeting is broadcast. We commit and commend the issues of this meeting to Thyself. Hear and answer prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.